This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a football Friday, a divisional round football Friday here in the loop as we're gearing up for Texans, Patriots. It'll be Sunday, 2 p.m. Countdown starts at 11. Swarm City in full effect, and even more in full effect. B. Scott's thoughts.
I feel like the fact that the Texans won that game despite C.J. Stroud's turnovers, I feel like that was the best thing that could have happened to them, at least in terms of how I view this matchup. I'm not going to say it's the best thing that could happen to them is that they just go ahead and win the Super Bowl. We understand that.
Yeah.
But in that moment, it felt like the best thing that could happen to them, at least in terms of how I view their future matchups, it's incredible. Because to me, and I tried to feed this a little bit to them when I went to the media availabilities on Wednesday and talked to C.J. Stroud and talked to D'Amico Ryans. I'm like, hey, man, do you guys feel like y'all found a formula, like y'all found a template to win? I understand it's game to game, week to week, opponent to opponent, and you're going to make your adjustments. But there were certain things about this game that felt repeatable and felt like they could lean on in terms of how they ran the ball, how balanced they were, and of course, I buried the lead here, which we don't do on this show. That damn defense.
Yeah.
All of those things felt repeatable, and they were able to win the game by a lot, despite the fact that the quarterback did the thing that previously I thought, or he didn't do the thing that I previously thought was their formula, right? All we want to do, I've been coming here all year, all season, talking about, hey, all they really want to do, we want a light show, we want fireworks, we want 35 points a game and all of that. We want to see C.J. Stroud reach his potential. But all it seems like the Texans are trying to do is possess the ball and not give it away, right? Ball control, long drives, let's run the football, let's spread it around, let's dink and dunk, let's find whatever the defense gives us.
Yeah.
But we're not trying to take the deep shots that you got used to when C.J. Stroud was a rookie. We're not trying to overly impress you with how good our offense is. Mm-hmm. We're trying to play a complimentary game, and specifically a compliment to the star of the team, which is the defense, and we're going to let them operate. Well, they did that plus not doing the thing that we've been saying that they need to do, which is take care of the football. They were able to overcome themselves because of all of these other things that they did well. Now, I'm saying that to say I don't expect C.J. Stroud to have the yips or to turn the ball over three times or to have these uncharacteristic moments like he had on Monday night. I expect it to be a much cleaner game, but for them to pull from everything else that they did in this game from a balance offensive standpoint, and then, of course, pinning their ears back defensively. I don't think that the Patriots have seen a defense quite like this. There probably isn't a defense quite like this.
Yeah.
And so I feel really good about this matchup because of that.
I'm gonna slightly disagree. I think your points are incredible. And I think you can add offensive line to the, you know, to what they've the formula and the thing that's repeatable. I really do think the offensive line is found itself, so to speak. You know, you mentioned defense and running game and all that. I think the offensive line is, I'm relying on it. The one thing that I think I say disagree, I'm just kind of questioning, because I literally this morning placed a couple of imaginary wagers.
Entertainment purposes only.
On this game. And one of them was in a parlay over 206 and a half yards passing for C.J. Stroud. So I think he's going to break out of it and be able to throw the ball.
206 and a half. Okay,
I got you. I think that's not that much, and I think if he's just hit a couple of shots, whatever. I'm not going to get into my, you know, breaking down of my gambling habits on this game. But the thing that I'm going to question with your point there, I don't think anybody, including C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, is sure that there's not something going on between the ears with C.J. Stroud that's going to affect him.
Hey, look, I hope not, man. Yeah. I can't say one way or another either. I know from talking to him, he seemed to say the right things or to have the right approach and mentality.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we really—
I'm betting on him, but I'm curious.
You got to watch the game, and something just did not seem right. Like the whole— I mean, all three turnovers were bad. Bass. I think different levels and degrees of bad, but all still in the category of bad for the most part. Yeah. And so,
and what's funny, though, is that they were all kind of siloed because outside of those moments, you saw him make some really good plays. Yeah. And the thing that I haven't mentioned on air because I don't know exactly what to do this, and I trust you guys to handle it in a way and help me out. Did you see him coming off of the field and pointing at the Steelers fans doing a you mad? Yeah. And I was like, yes, be happy about the win, but it's like it's almost like those moments didn't faze him, which is good in one way, but also feels bad in another. I don't know exactly how to handle it.
Yeah, I actually just put—
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Put that to the side. I put it in its own silo because who knows what that's— I couldn't hear from that video what that Steelers fan was saying to them.
Certainly.
And so whenever they just talk, obviously you don't want them to put their hands on a fan like DK Metcalf.
No, of course not.
But when it's— even when Bill O'Brien got in trouble for it a few years ago when he said, "You suck too," I didn't have a problem with that at all. Like, if they talking crazy to you, like, you don't get to just talk to me any old kind of way. That's not how— that's just not how the world works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I might talk to you any old kind of way. So I was actually okay with that.
And I wasn't upset with it at all. It was just— If we're doing the psychoanalyzing, getting into his mind state, that walking off the field, that didn't feel like a dude who was like, damn, I really messed up today.
I think you could make the argument that that felt like the most normal thing that he did.
Right.
For the entire night. Now, to your point about, like, outside of the turnovers, like, we can't acknowledge how good the Texans were on third down without acknowledging C.J. Stroud.
8-14 on third down?
Yeah. Exactly. You can't acknowledge how good Christian Kirk was as if he threw the ball to himself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if we're going to acknowledge all of these other things that were good about the offense, you got to acknowledge the fact that C.J. Stroud is the first person to touch the ball after his snap.
I totally agree. To your point, I think that was just, we won a playoff game. He was just happy. You know, he had time later to think about how he played or the good or the bad or what. I think I was just like, hey, we went to Pittsburgh and won. I think that's what that— – as far as, like, the other thing with C.J. Stroud and the silos, that was a lot of silos. that was five fumbles and an interception.
He had a corporate form of silos.
That looked like those big that was a lot of silos, and they got away with it because he didn't make good plays. How much can you get away with it this time?
Yeah, that will be a question. Now, Lopez mentioned the offensive line. I'm so glad you did, because these were my points last week. I thought the game, for me, the story of the game going into the Steelers game was like, okay, your offseason adjustments that you made, the big ones were the offensive coordinator changing that and the offensive line remaking that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rubber meeting the road here, as I mentioned, and as you just check. Both, I thought, were excellent in this game.
Don't you feel good about them too?
It gave me a lot of confidence on their behalf. Not that they need my confidence, but confidence on their behalf or whatever it's worth. That, man, you can rely on your offensive line in January, and that your first year offensive coordinator, who did struggle early on, the moment is not too big for him. And whether you like the offensive or not, and I'm on record of not liking it, I can like whatever he does within it. I can accept what they have. And I think that Nick Caley has shown some improvements, man. Dare I say, I know people didn't like the flea flicker. I thought that was a—
I thought it was a good call.
I didn't mind it at all.
I thought it was a good call. I'm willing to say that.
I thought it was just fine, especially like you scheme it open and all you got to do is block it or give a better— if only one of two different things happens better, they could probably make that play happen. Either a better pitch from from Woody Marks or a better block on the right side. You needed at least one of those things
what
to
up,
happen.
Blake?
So, yeah, I mean, those are the things that went wrong. I thought Nick Caley was really good. I thought the offensive line, by and large, was really good. They give me confidence going up against a worthy Patriots team.
And the thing for me with Nick Caley, and maybe this is also indicative of like a lowered expectation, which sometimes happens to be like that, it felt like he was just, no need to be fancy. What works? Hit the work button.
Works.
And that worked really well. I'll be interested to see how he handles that in this game. One, if they can quickly identify what works, because sometimes that's the issue, is it takes him a little while to figure out what is working. But if he continues to hit the works button and how that goes against the Patriots team, that's a little bit different in the way that they handle things.
I wanted to get this in before we go. Y'all tell me if you what you put more stock into. Because I know in New England, they're looking at, oh, if we could hold the Chargers offense to 3 points, that Texans offense isn't that impressive.
They put up 16 points in that game.
Right, exactly. So I was going to go the other way. Well, guess what, man? If you only score 16 points against the Chargers defense, what you think you about to do against this Texans defense? Like, I'm more so on that side. Maybe it's because I'm here.
That's why I came into the show today, you know, just kind of the revelation, if you will, a moment of clarity. I'm like, they're gonna eat Drake May alive.
Yeah, I think it was Tulipuoltu. I butchered his name there because I don't have it directly in front of me, so apologies to that man. He was giving that Wilson, the guard, and then Will Campbell, the tackle. Yeah. He was giving them hell. Yeah. And I'm like, that dude don't hold a jock to nobody on this defensive line in this Texans team.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So, yeah. That is one of those places where I have circled in this game. I'm going to actively try and focus my eyes on the left side of the Patriots offensive line on every snap because I feel like that is where the fun might happen to be entirely. That is a area of interest, I would say. Yeah. And those are B. Scott's thoughts that you get here every Friday
in
the loop.
I cannot
on
wait
Sports
for this
Radio 610. Oh, man.
Wait.
I think we are all super excited. And in fact, I can't wait today. I'm going to get out to Talia Brewing where the fellows of the Drive are broadcasting on a Football Friday. And I know that you're going to jump out there a little bit.
I'll be there. I got to make one stop, and I'll be out there by 4.
So he's not going to make it out there. Sean's going to be out there.
I'll be out there.
And I'm excited to talk to people one-on-one, get a feel for how everybody is going to the Sunday game.
Yeah, I plan on making a trip. I'm doing a podcast first, and so depending on how that goes, I plan to make
it out there. I don't believe y'all.
We've been
y'all carpooling. Okay, so now I believe if y'all going together, I think it might happen. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Did you get your rodeo tickets? Because apparently they're already going. Let's talk about that more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.